The scripture reading this morning you will find in the letter of Peter, the first letter of Peter, chapter 2. From chapter 2, I will read the verses 1 through 10. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobeyed the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So far the reading of God's holy word. The text, as you have seen in your liturgy, is those last two verses. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, by way of introduction, I want to call your attention to a phenomenon that we are all familiar with, the need to conform. We, members of the church, we don't really like to be different, right? As a matter of fact, we're often afraid to be seen to be different. And the world, certainly the world of business, the world knows that, capitalizes on that, uses that in its advertising. Think only of the world of fashion. But the fact is, the Lord calls us to be different, to be a set-apart people. As a matter of fact, we must be so different that people can readily pick us out as a unique people, as a separate nation. Oh, yes, we must be so different that when people see us, they will see God's own people. That's what the text is all about. You see, the text declares to us and it explains to us that all who are in Christ Jesus are a unique, a separate people. But you, says Peter, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. Notice, Peter doesn't ask them the question, "Am I really such a one?" He declares, "You are." Peter also tells us what that means, what consequences are attached to that, that is, to being a set-apart people. Just listen. That you may declare, I ask, that you may proclaim the wonderful deeds of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And finally, the text tells us how great the difference is between who and what we are today and who and what we were in the past. Once you were no people. But now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I would like to listen with you to those three thoughts under the theme, but you are God's own people. As I have already indicated, there are three thoughts. You will first look at what you once were. From there we will move to what you now are. And finally we will consider what the consequences thereof will be. We begin therefore with the last verse of the text. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You understand? Peter is saying this to Gentiles. To Gentiles who had become Christians. He is saying this to people whom he characterizes as strangers in the world, as exiles in the dispersion, as people who no longer really had or have their home here on this earth, whose citizenship is in heaven. But the amazing thing is, Peter is clearly pointing back to what the Lord had said to his people in the prophecy of Hosea. Think back for a moment to the prophet Hosea. You may remember that the Lord had told Hosea to marry a harlot, Gomer. They had three children. The first one, a boy, was to be named Jezreel. So the Lord had said, for reasons that are then explained. Then it says, she conceived again and bore a daughter. And the Lord said to him, to Hosea, call her name No Mercy, for I will no more have mercy on the house of Israel to forgive them at all. And when she had weaned No Mercy, she conceived and bore a son. And the Lord said, call his name not My People, for you are not My people, and I am not your God. Did you hear? Israel, God's covenant people, remember. Israel had become so corrupt that God said to them in an unmistakable way, you will no longer receive mercy, that is, the forgiving grace of the Lord. And you will no longer be My people, for you have broken your covenant relationship with Me. Therefore, it is over. From now on, there will be the curse of the covenant for you. The whole land, all of Israel, the whole land was guilty of great harlotry. The people had forsaken the Lord, the God of the covenant. Oh, no doubt, they still observed some of the rituals of their worship. The priests probably still offered sacrifices. But those same people also offered their worship to the Baals. That that, you understand? Ah, yes, that is like people today maintaining church membership when in fact they don't give a hoot about the worship and service of the Lord. Not on the Lord's Day, which they prefer to devote to sports, and not to any other day of the week, which they devote to serving self. Well now, the Israelites, the Lord's covenant people, you could say the members of the Old Testament church, conducted themselves for all practical purposes just as the Gentiles did, who had a God for every occasion. That's when the Lord said to His people, You are all illegitimate children, spiritual illegitimates. You are no longer My people, and you will no longer receive My mercy. I'm going to leave you and forsake you. I'm going to look upon you as Gentiles. What, after all, what is a Gentile if not a person who does not belong to the covenant and who has not received the forgiving grace of the Lord, who is the God of the covenant? Well, against that background, we can understand Peter, who you all remember, wrote his letter to Gentiles. To Gentiles who had become Christians. Once upon a time, says Peter, once upon a time, all of you belonged to that large number of people who were no people. Because you were all cut off from, you were all outside of the covenant fellowship of the Lord. Ah, yes, once upon a time, you belonged, body and soul, to those who were held in the clutches of sin, under the tyranny of Satan, because you had not received the mercy of the Lord. But when you came to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but in God's sight precious, when by the grace of the Lord, to be sure, you were brought from darkness to light, when you were grafted onto a new root in the place of those who were cut off. See, that is when you became a people. You understand? We become a people, God's people, only when we are incorporated into the church. That is, only when we are grafted into the body of Christ. You see, that is the amazing grace of the Lord. That is what was sealed to you, to each one of us personally, in our baptism. That is what we see every time a child or an adult is baptized. Then the Lord God seals His covenant to that child or adult, not because of what he or she has done, but because of His grace, which He signified and sealed to them in their baptism. Amazing. Remember it well. That is God's work of grace. He did it. God called us. He called you by name. He said it to us personally. I make My covenant, My everlasting covenant with you. You are Mine. You belong to Me. You are My people. And see, what he said to us personally, that he also said and says to us as congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is who I am, he says. I am the God of the covenant. I love you, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, gathered here in this community. I care for you. I have been and I will forever be faithful to you. When you really think that through, not just today, as we remember and celebrate the Lord's faithfulness to us here and now, but every day anew. Yes, when you really think that through, then you see how very rich we are. From being outcasts, all of us, we have become God's very own people, children of the covenant, called to covenantal obedience. Oh yes, called to covenantal obedience. Right here, right now. Lest we lose what we have. That, you see, that is possible. Remember well what it is the Lord said to his covenant people in the days of the prophet Hosea. With that, I move on to the second point. You are a chosen race, says Peter, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. Do you realize what Peter is doing? He is again quoting from the Old Testament scriptures. This time he quotes from the book of Exodus. You may want to open your Bibles to that passage. You see, the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus records that the Lord made a covenant with Israel at Mount Horeb in the wilderness of Sinai. I would like to read the first 6 verses of Exodus chapter 19. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Did you hear? You shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples. And you, the people of the covenant, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Oh, you can't miss it. That is exactly what Peter is talking about in his letter. That is the wonderful, the amazing thing he says to those Gentile Christians who, by faith in Christ to be sure, had become part and parcel of the covenant people of the Lord. This is what you are, he says to them. Well now, That is precisely how we may, I ask, how we today must see ourselves. That says who we, member of this congregation, all of us who bear the name of Christ, that says who we are in Christ today. The Apostle Paul had said the same thing to the members of the church at Galatia, who, remember, were also Christians from the world of Gentiles. If you are Christ, he said to them, I ask, if you are Christ, then you are Abram's offspring, heirs according to promise. But that's not all. See, this tells us not only who we are in Christ today. It tells us also what God, from the very beginning, from day one, wanted. What He wanted when He created Adam and Eve. What He wanted when He gave them the Garden of Eden. Yes, here the Lord says, here He lays bare the heart of the matter. The heart of the relationship He sought right from the start, from day one of man's living on this earth. You see, the Lord always wanted a relationship of love, a marriage, if you will, between Himself and His people. And love, as you know, love is jealous. The lover wants his loved one for himself alone. You know that. You know that when a young couple, when young people begin to date, they claim the total attention of the other. They will not tolerate it that the boyfriend or the girlfriend gives attention to another. Certainly not the kind of attention that could be understood as in any way romantic. Then he or she feels betrayed. Then there is a raging anger, the anger of the jilted lover. See, that is exactly how God felt. He felt betrayed when first Eve and then Adam listened to the voice of another. Then his love was violated. Then the relationship was broken between the Lord and our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise. But God, because of His great love, God renewed, He restored the relationship. You know the story of Cain and Abel, of Noah and the flood, of the Tower of Babel. Finally, God called Abram. And many years later, God called the descendants of Abraham, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And God led them into the wilderness on eagle's wings, it says. And there, before bringing them into the land of milk and honey, there God betrothed Himself to His people. Do you know what God said? He used the language of the lover. He said, of all the people of the world, I have chosen you, Israel, to be mine, to be my beloved, to be my bride. And a bride, as you know, a bride is all decked out on her wedding day. Her wedding dress is white to symbolize her purity. And she wears fine jewelry. That is the honor and the glory of the bride. Well now, just so the Lord God bestowed honor and glory upon His people, His bride, His chosen and precious. I'm going to make you, He said. Yes, I'm going to make you, my people, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You understand? You see, every person in Israel, every man, woman, and child, every person had to think of himself or herself as someone who was to be dressed every day, as it were, in the clothes of the priests. Because, listen carefully, because every action of every day, no matter how little, no matter how insignificant, every action of every day had to be pure. A pure, a holy offering to the Lord. And see, just as a young bride tries to please her husband in every way, in the words she speaks, in the clothes she wears, in the food she cooks, in the company she keeps, just so Israel, God's bride, had to regulate and dedicate every facet of every day of her life to her husband, that is, to the Lord. Moreover, God wanted her to do that with the dignity and the splendor of kings. He wanted His bride to be fully aware of her exalted position to which He had chosen and appointed her. So she was to commit her whole life to Him, not only in priestly devotion, but also in royal service, exercising lordship over all. I ask, such was to be her life, her glory, her beauty, her honor. But you know what Israel did time and again, right? Israel, as Adam before, Israel betrayed the love of her God. We heard about it from the prophecy of Hosea. God accused His bride of harlotry. And by the time the fullness of time came, by the time God sent His Son into the world, there was only a small remnant left that sought the Lord in holiness of life. Well, at this point, we must turn for a moment to the book of Revelation. In chapter 5, you read of the scroll which could only be opened by the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God. Then you read that there was great joy in heaven and that a new song was sung. Verse 9. Listen carefully to the words of that song, sung by the four living creatures and the 24 elders. Worthy are you, Jesus Christ. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And, yes, and you made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Did you hear? Oh, you can't miss it. That is once again the thing Peter is talking about, right? Ah, then you see it. Christ came to purchase a people that they might be for God a pure bride. Oh yes, the Lord our God is still looking for exactly the same thing He looked for from the beginning when He created Adam and Eve and when later He made the covenant with Israel. But now, in Christ, now He has included people from every tribe and language and people and nation. And He says to all of those people who come from all over the world, who are of every color, to whom He gave many different gifts, He says to all of them, all of you are mine. All of you are together a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You understand? He says to us, here and now, as we today remember and celebrate His covenant faithfulness to us, that is who I am for you. You, young and old, He says, you belong to me. You are my beloved because you are my own people. Think of it. The Lord God takes all of us into His arms and He says to us, I love you and I will love you forever because I love you with an everlasting love in Christ Jesus, my Son, your Savior. Well, that brings us to the last thought. The consequences thereof. That is, the consequences of the foregoing. Peter puts it this way, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Oh no, that isn't so difficult to understand anymore, is it? Just think of yourself and of all of us here together as God's bride right now in this place, that is, in this congregation. Well now, any God-fearing bride knows that her whole life is to focus on and is to be dedicated to her husband, even as her husband's life is to focus on and to be dedicated to her, his wife. Just so the Lord does today. That is what the Lord asks of us, His people, His bride today. That, He says, that is how you will show, I ask, that is how you will declare my wonderful deeds to all who know you and meet you and have fellowship with you. Now think for a moment. Did you ever see a happy bride? What do you think? What does she talk about? Who do you think does she talk about? It is all about her husband. How very wonderful he is, and how much she loves him, and what she all plans to do for him. People smile. Some even laugh a bit. But she doesn't care. That doesn't bother her in the least, because her husband is her life, her joy, her glory, right? That brings the question very close to home for us. this question, is that true of us? Are we that kind of bride of Christ? Who are you trying to please in your walk of life of each day? Whose voice are you listening to in the countless choices you make each day? In your choice of friends and music, of dress and entertainment, of work and sport and political allegiance? Can you really say that it doesn't bother you in the least what they do and what they like and what they think and what they say who are of this world? Or do you really let them dictate to you what your style of life should be, how you should talk, and what you should do, and where you should go, and what you should see? Ask yourself, am I really a bit ashamed of the Lord, who is my husband? Am I ashamed to be so different that people can just pick me out as a member of God's set-apart people? But if that were to be true, you see, why then any and every word you speak about the wonderful deeds of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, any word you say about that will sound like a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. After all, everybody knows it. Our walk must be in harmony with our talk, lest we be accused of hypocrisy. See, if you really love the Lord and therefore your neighbor, if you really love the Lord as the royal priest you are called to be, then you will show yourself in all your conduct as the royal bride of Christ, whom He purchased with His precious blood. Then you will proudly show to one and to all that you are different, gloriously different, because then you will want everyone to know that you, that we right here in this community, that we are God's own people in all we think and say and do. See, that is blessedness. And that is joy. That is your glory today and your joy forever. Praise the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we have listened together to your word, the word of life, the word of truth, the word that tells us who you are for us and who we are to be for you. Help us, Lord, to understand what it means that we are your people, your bride, whom you love and whom you ask, of whom you ask that we walk in faithfulness to your word, the word of life. Help us, Lord, to examine our walk of life in faithfulness to that word. For Jesus' sake. Amen.